as we teach on the core values of our church. We taught about the Word of God. We taught about salvation. And this morning, teaching on tithing, and we'll finish that up next week. I really believe God will bless you if you get involved in that. I really do. But there is a balance, and I want you to see that. In Matthew chapter 23, I want you to look at verse number 23, if you would. And this is Jesus. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's not just talking to them, really. He's talking to the Pharisees like the song that Jose just sang. He's telling them like it is. He's rebuking them. Seven woes, all right? These woes that he's pronouncing upon the Pharisees, and he's rebuking them. So look at this verse, and we'll go through and give you some context, and then hopefully preach a message that will really help you as a Christian and hopefully challenge you. Matthew 23, verse 23, the Bible says this, "Woe unto you," this is Jesus talking, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Let me remind you who the Pharisees were. They were a group of people who took the law of God and added rules to it. They're very strict in these rules that they added, but the way they did it as hypocrites. They lived one way privately, but then they acted another way publicly. There were 39 basic categories of rules that they developed to keep the Sabbath. 39 categories. They had to do with harvesting, planting, making bread, starting fires, putting out fires, traveling, serving, working. 39 different categories. And then what the Pharisees did, they took those 39 categories and they added hundreds of subcategories. So, for example, if you weren't allowed to start a fire or put out a fire on the Sabbath, you probably shouldn't make it common words that we'd understand. You probably shouldn't light a match. In fact, you probably shouldn't even have a book of matches in your pocket. You probably should just leave those put away. Modern day Jews, I was just doing a little bit of research on this. Modern day people that are trying to keep the Sabbath according to these same type of rules, they won't turn on a light or turn off a light once the Sabbath starts because they feel like they are breaking that Sabbath. However, it is okay to hire somebody else to do that as long as you hire them before the Sabbath starts or you take care of it when it's not during that time. So these hundreds of categories that these Pharisees came up with, and if you remember a couple times, Jesus was walking through the cornfield with his disciples. His disciples were hungry, so they picked some corn, and the Bible says they rubbed it in their hands. Have you ever, you call it shucking corn, right? You shuck the corn, you get all the husk off of it, and you get the silky stuff off of it, and you rub it in your hands. And then the Bible says they ate it. And the Pharisees looked at them, and they condemned them because they weren't keeping the law of the Sabbath. The law of the Sabbath says you can't harvest. The law of the Sabbath says you can't process grain. And that's what they were doing, according to the Pharisees. So there's all these rules that the Pharisees took. God gave the law, and the Pharisees said, let's add these rules to the law. They called it a fence around the Torah. It was a fence to keep them from breaking the law. But what they did was they heightened their rules. They lifted up their own man-made rules to be equal with God's rules, maybe even above God's rules. Let me give you an example of some of them. They taught that you should not look in a mirror on the Sabbath because you might be tempted to pluck out a gray hair, and that would be reaping. You kind of see the logic in how this goes. A donkey could be let out of the stable on the Sabbath, but the harness and the saddle had to be placed on him the day before. It was like a checkerboard of rules. Do this one, don't do this one, do this one, don't do this one. An egg could not be boiled on the Sabbath, either by normal means or by putting it near a hot kettle or by wrapping it in a hot cloth or by putting it in the hot sand outside. There's no way that you're supposed to be able to cook this egg. If the lights were on when the Sabbath came, okay, Sabbath starts at sundown, and if the lights were on when it came, you could not blow them out. If they had not been lit in time, you could not light them. So if the Sabbath started and you weren't on the ball, you'd be in trouble for breaking the Sabbath if you were to turn the lights on. It was unlawful to move furniture on the Sabbath. There was an exception to this. You could move a ladder on the Sabbath. but you could only move it 4 steps. It was unlawful to wear any jewelry or ornaments on a Sabbath, since this would be carrying a burden. It was not permitted to wear false teeth on the Sabbath. I'm not sure the reasoning behind that one. You weren't allowed to eat radishes on the Sabbath. I'm sorry, you were allowed to eat radishes on the Sabbath. How many of you like radishes? I love radishes. We call them bad breath bombs in our house. And you were allowed to, but you couldn't dip them in salt, because you might leave them in the salt too long and pickle them. And this was considered Sabbath breaking. And the Pharisees would actually have discussions on how long it took to pickle a radish. You didn't want to be guilty of actually breaking the Sabbath by pickling your radish by leaving it in the salt too long. It was fine to spit on a rock on the Sabbath, but you could not spit on the ground. The reason? Because if you spit on the ground, it would make mud. And mud was mortar. And that was considered work, to make mortar on the Sabbath. So you see what was going on here. These Pharisees, and that's just a simple short list of these rules. There were hundreds of them. And they made the rules, and they said, these rules are to help us to please God. These rules are to help us to obey the law. But then they lifted those rules up to be as high as the law of God. And anybody that broke those rules, they were condemned in the eyes of the Pharisees. I took it out of my notes because I thought the sermon was going to be too long. But you remember that story is actually a parable. And Jesus said, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. You remember the story? The Pharisee prayed and he said, Lord, I thank you, or Father God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes on everything that I own. Thank you that I'm not like that publican over there. This was a parable that Jesus was saying. And then Jesus said, but the publican over in the corner, the Bible says he wouldn't even lift up his eyes because he said, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And the Bible says he beat upon his chest in anguish and in sorrow for his sins. And then Jesus asked the question, which of those two do you think God heard? We know the answer. It was the one that was the publican, the one that was truly sorry, the one that was asking God to hear him. In Matthew 23, verses 13 through 26, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. He's saying, listen, you're making all these laws and you're keeping people away from God. We're not going to read through all of that, but let me tell you what he rebuked them for. He rebuked them for shutting up the kingdom of heaven against men. The Pharisees were making it impossible for people to get to heaven because of what they were teaching. And the way they were teaching, it was impossible. Actually, I do want to read that to you. Verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. He rebuked them for devouring widows' houses and then praying a long prayer to make it look spiritual. Religious leaders, and somehow they figured out a way we can tell them. Sounds almost like a televangelist of when I was growing up. I don't know if there's televangelists still. I'm sure there are because they make a lot of money. Almost like one of the televangelists that would say, you send us the offering and you keep sending us the offering and we'll send you this hanky that we pray over and you just keep sending us that seed offering. You send the seed offering and it'll start the blessings coming. Can you picture a Pharisee going to a woman's house? She lost her husband. She doesn't have any way of making an income. And saying, you need these prayers. You need these prayers. And charging them for it? That's what they were doing. And they would charge them. And they would make these long prayers. And the only thing they had left was the house. And they would devour widows' houses. And for pretense, Jesus said, make these long prayers. He rebuked them for that. He rebuked them for traveling across land and sea to make a proselyte. That means turning someone to believe what they believe. And then making them, these are Jesus' words, twofold more the child of hell. Reaching people with their religion and then taking them further from the truth. He rebuked them for saying that the gold in the temple was more valuable than the temple. He rebuked them for paying tithe on herbs, but omitting the weightier matters of the law. That's our verse this morning. We'll come back to it. Jesus rebuked these Pharisees for being clean on the outside, but being filthy on the inside. They looked right, They kept the rules, and at least in public, and they looked clean. But Jesus said on the inside, he compared them to dishes that were clean on the outside, but inside, where you put the food, where you put your drink, was full of extortion and excess. Just wicked and dirty on the inside. He compared these Pharisees and he rebuked them for being like painted graves. Painted graves, whited sepulchers that look good on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones. That's what he called the Pharisees. He said, you look good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. And he called them hypocrites. The Pharisees, they were actors. They acted religious and godly, but they're really selfish and wicked. And then right in the middle of rebuking the Pharisees for their wicked actions, Jesus mentions tithing. Right in the middle of that. Look at Matthew 23, 23 again. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So here's what they would do. These Pharisees, they would give one mint leaf out of every 10. Does anybody have mint that grows in their yard? We didn't used to. Our neighbors had mint, and we planted a little garden. We had some tulips there that we'd planted. We didn't plant mint, I promise you. But somehow the mint got growing in this little flower garden. And it got to the point where it was taking over. There's a lot of leaves on a mint bush. But the Pharisees, they would take the mint bush and one out of every 10 leaves, they would cut off and they would give that as a tithe. Now, Jesus didn't rebuke them for tithing. He rebukes them for something else in just a minute. But they would tithe on even the smallest things. They would count the anise seeds they had in the jar. Now, am I saying that right? We had Biscochitos on our welcome table this morning. Whoever brought those, bless you. Usually we use the anise seed in the Biscochitos. So the Pharisees would take their seeds. One out of every 10 anise seeds, they would tithe on. They were being really picky and they were being really strict on how they would tithe. They would take the cumin and they would, I imagine it was the same type of cumin that we would use. We like making guacamole and salsa and things like that with that particular spice or herb or whatever, herb or whatever it is. They would take that and one-tenth of it, they'd separate it up, and they would give it as tithe. And Jesus came to them, and he rebukes them. Remember, these are the same Pharisees that they're cutting off heaven for people, and they're whited sepulchers, and they're making people twofold more the child of hell, but they're tithing. They're doing all of these things, but their heart is so wrong. And he tells them, listen, it's okay, it's good that you're tithing on this. They're tithing on everything that way. And just think about it. If they're tithing on their anise seed and their cumin and their mint leaves, the point is they're tithing on everything. They're keeping the letter of the law. They're paying their tithes. We taught about tithing this morning, and I want us all to be tithers. But I want to take this message this morning, and I want us to be right along the heart of God. Not just tithing, but doing what God wants us to do. Don't become a person that instead of obeying all the areas that God says to obey, you say, look, I'm doing great in this area. Keep your heart open to what God would have you say, and we'll see this area in just a moment. We would look at somebody like these Pharisees and say, they're crazy. We might even say, nobody should go that far in obeying God. And we might even say, that's fanatical. One seed out of every 10 seeds to tithe on that. Wow. We might even say that's insane, but look at the verse again. Matthew 23, 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. So what happened? Jesus didn't rebuke the Pharisees for being too picky about paying tithes. He actually said that's right. These ought ye to have done. He actually rebuked them for omitting something that was more important. When it came to tithing on herbs, Jesus commended them. These ought ye to have done. Yeah, you're not doing wrong in tithing on your mint and on these seeds and on these herbs. You're not doing wrong. In fact, you're doing the right thing, but you're omitting something that's weightier. It must have been a shock for the Pharisees to hear that they were leaving out part of the law. Can you imagine? All of their life was centered around keeping the law. to the point that they made all these extra rules and all these extra laws. And then Jesus came and said, look, you're tithing, but you're missing something. You're tithing, but you're leaving something out. These were the men who prided themselves in going the extra mile to obey the law. And not only part of the law, but Jesus said, this is a weightier part of the law. You're tithing, which is good, but there's something bigger. There's something weightier. There's something that you're leaving out. What were they omitting? Look at the verse again. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Here they are, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. What were they omitting? Judgment, mercy, and faith. What are those? Judgment, mercy, and faith. Listen, the Pharisees were tithing, but they were omitting the gospel. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Follow with me this morning. They were paying tithe on their tiny herbs, but they were ignoring judgment and ignoring mercy and ignoring faith. Listen to this verse. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. What category would that go under? That's judgment. You go on and you read a little bit later on in Romans and you see the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that is mercy. When you read Romans 10 verse 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What we would call the Romans road, what we would call the gospel, is exactly what Jesus said they were omitting. Listen, you're paying tithes on mint and on anise seed and on this cumin, but you're omitting judgment, mercy, and faith. You're tithing, but you're forgetting the gospel. You're forgetting that there is a judgment for sin. You're forgetting that there is mercy on people who commit sin. And you're forgetting that faith is how a person gets saved. John chapter 3 verse 16 takes all of these and they put it into one, and God puts it into one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, there's faith, should not perish, there's judgment, but have everlasting life, and that is mercy. Now today we're focusing on tithing. You've probably never heard a salvation message preached out of Matthew 23:23 before. We're focusing on tithing. And I believe we ought to. And next Sunday, listen, next Sunday, we've never done this before, but I think it's going to help us. We're going to have what we're calling a tithing commitment Sunday. And I'm going to ask every person to commit to tithe. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say, would you, and I'll ask you right now, would you take a look at what your income is? And would you take 1/10 of that and write that number down somewhere and say, that is what I'm going to give to God this year? A tithing commitment. I believe everybody ought to do that. If you were to take that and write down, so you've got your income. If you make $10,000 in a year, you just take off the last zero, and that's $1,000. That's 1/10 of that. That's what every one of us ought to commit to tithe. Not $1,000, but the tithe, 1/10 of what our increase is. You take that and you divide it. If you want to give that every week, you divide it by 52, and it'll tell you how much you're supposed to tithe every week. Or you can divide that amount by 12. It'll tell you how much you're supposed to tithe every month. However you do that, next week I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to tithe. I'm not going to ask you to put your name on it. I'm just going to ask you to make a commitment between you and God that you would tithe. So it's a big deal. But, don't forget the gospel. The Sunday school lesson this morning was about tithing. And tithing is right, and tithing is God's plan to finance the Great Commission. And we don't spend a whole lot of weeks talking about tithing. I chose the beginning of this year to do that to help us to get off to a good start. But as we teach about tithing, don't forget the gospel. Listen, don't forget about judgment. Don't forget that every person who dies without accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior will spend eternity in hell separated from God. And we can get focused on tithing. We can get focused on giving and forget. There is a judgment coming. Jesus said to the Pharisees, yes, tithe. Yes, do that. But don't omit the weightier matters of the law. Don't forget judgment, mercy, and faith. Revelation 20:15, still in the Bible. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is judgment. And judgment will come. When you read through the Bible, you see over and over, God talks about this coming judgment. God even says, I forget exactly, I read it this week. He says, if God didn't spare the angels this sin, how much more is he going to spare people who sin against him and reject him? Listen, judgment is coming. God sent the flood and destroyed the earth back in Noah's time. And God uses that as a picture for the judgment that will come in the future. Judgment is coming. Don't forget that. Yes, let's tithe. Let's do right. We're preaching and teaching on Sunday nights. We're teaching how to build your own personal biblical standards. I think that's important for all of us. But listen, don't get so caught up in rules and what I need to do. And those are good things. But don't get so caught up on me living to please God that I forget about judgment. There are people dying. And there are people going to hell. And we need to remember judgment. As we focus on tithing, don't forget about the gospel. Don't forget about judgment. Don't forget about mercy. Oh, I love mercy. Titus 3:5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Mercy. Don't forget about mercy. None of us are good enough to go to heaven, but God gave us mercy. Yes, let's tithe. Yes, let's be faithful to church. Yes, let's do all those things that we know we are supposed to do. But don't forget about mercy. Don't forget that God sent his son Jesus. He died on the cross and he paid the price for the sins of the world so that anybody that would trust him could be saved. Don't forget about mercy. Don't forget about judgment. Don't forget about mercy. None of us are good enough to get to heaven, but God gave us mercy. And nobody that you talk to this week deserves forgiveness. But God wants to give them his mercy. You're going to talk to people this week. They don't deserve to be forgiven any more than you deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But God has given them mercy. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about judgment. Don't forget about mercy. Don't forget about faith. There's so many verses in the New Testament about trusting Jesus Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. Acts 16:31. A man asked, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget about faith. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans, I put the same verse in twice. You want to hear it again? Here we go. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not about reforming, it's about believing. Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This is an amazing thing. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, yeah, it's good that you're tithing, and I'm glad that you're tithing, and it's a good thing to tithe, but don't forget about the gospel. Don't forget about judgment and mercy and faith. Now listen, somebody needs to tell them. Somebody needs to tell the people that are not here today. Somebody needs to tell the people in our city about judgment and mercy and faith. And if we don't do it, who will? Who's going to tell the people in our city about judgment, mercy, and faith? Who's going to share the gospel? If we don't, who's going to? A couple weeks ago, as we were out knocking on doors and sharing the gospel with people and trying to give them the gospel tract with the invitation to church, there's a whole bunch of other people out there doing the same thing. But they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And they're not telling people how to get to heaven. They're not telling people that you get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. In fact, they're telling people they can't even go to heaven. Only 144,000 chosen people get to go to heaven, and we're not one of them. I've asked them before, wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven? They say, no, I'm not going there. What a terrible thought. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell our neighbors? Who's going to tell the people in our city if we don't? If you tithe, listen, I'm so glad you do. We need it. But don't forget about the gospel. If you don't tithe, let me challenge you to start tithing, but don't forget about the gospel. Tithes and offerings are God's plan to finance people hearing the gospel. But we still need people to carry the gospel. I know this is such a simple message. Romans 10:14, the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We need to send them, yes, but we need to go. Let's every one of us, can we all make a decision? Okay, Pastor Todd, on tithing today, I'm going to decide to tithe. But while I'm making that decision, I'm not going to forget about the gospel. I'm going to do what I can to share the gospel with somebody. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a stranger that I don't even know, but they live in this city and I need to reach them with the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? So the message this morning, mostly to Christians, but let me ask you, maybe you've been busy doing a lot in your life, but you've ignored the gospel. Maybe you've been good and you've gone to church. Maybe you could be like these Pharisees in the area of tithing where you've been so careful. You've been so careful to do right. You've been so careful to go to church. You've been so careful to keep rules. And you've been so careful to be a member of a church or not do things that are wrong in people's eyes and to be morally good and to be an upstanding citizen. You've been so very careful, but you've ignored the gospel. Could that possibly describe you this morning? Let me remind you of something. Judgment is real. The Bible calls it hell. The Bible calls it the lake of fire. But let me remind you of something else this morning. God wants to give you mercy. And you've got to accept God's mercy to be saved. Judgment is real, yes, but mercy is available for you if you'll accept it. And you can be saved by faith. Judgment, mercy, and faith. You can be saved by faith. Would you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Would you let Him forgive your sins? Would you accept His full and complete payment for your sins? Faith is saying, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize the punishment for my sin is this judgment, this dying and going to hell. I realize Jesus died on the cross and in His mercy wants to give me the free gift of eternal life. And faith is saying, yes, I accept that. God, I believe You and I will trust You to forgive my sins. I will trust You as the payment for my sins. I will trust You as the full and complete sacrifice and substitute in my place. Father, thank You for letting us take a few minutes this morning to understand the importance of the gospel. If there's one here this morning, Lord, that hasn't trusted You as their Savior, Lord, I pray that You'd convict their heart. Lord, I believe they're probably a really good person. I believe if we were to look at them, we would say, yes, they're an outstanding citizen. They're a great person, a great dad or mom or a great kid or a great student. But Lord, have they ignored the gospel? Lord, if there's someone here this morning who has not yet trusted You as their Savior, Lord, I ask that this morning they would do that. And Lord, I believe we have a lot of people this morning who want to do right. I believe most people in this church, they're saved and they want to please You and they want to serve You. Lord, they want to do right. But Lord, so many times we ignore the gospel. So many times we're like these Pharisees who we do extra hard, we work extra hard to do right, but then we ignore judgment and mercy and faith. We ignore the gospel. Lord, I pray that You would help us just to get our priorities right today. Lord, I pray that You would help us as we work to share the gospel with our community, with our city, with our own children, with our neighbors, with our friends. Lord, I pray that You would guide us. And Lord, I pray that You'd convict our hearts. I pray that You would make us uncomfortable in that area if it's something that we're not doing like we ought to.